भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। पञ्चतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामो 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮೋ ಹರೆ ರಾಮೋ ರಾಮ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮೋ ಹರೆ ರಾಮೋ ರಾಮ ರಾಮೋ ಹರೆ ಹರೆ
Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for coming this evening in spite of very heavy rains for the last few days. So today's topic is overcoming distraction. In Satyuga, Treta Yuga and Dwapar Yuga, the various processes for meditation have been described. And for the age of Kali, the description is given that the highest meditation is chanting of the holy names. But in the last few decades, the way and the rate at which the gadgets have been promoted and have become prominent across the whole world, we can see across the world that people are becoming more and more meditative in front of their gadgets. They'll have difficulty in following any process of meditation, chanting of the names, but if you give them a gadget and they open their WhatsApp or Facebook, they go in samadhi. So today's discussion is to appreciate that America loses around $650 billion every year because of distraction. In the workplace, approximately 1 out of 7 days in a week are literally lost due to hours spent on the social media and online. According to a survey, 70% of those on jobs across the world, they admit to being distracted even while being on the job. And especially in the age group of 18 to 34, the statistics reveal that typically on a day they spend around 78 minutes on a mobile device and 48 minutes performing some of their personal activities online while on doing a job, and approximately 10 hours a week are wasted in this manner. In 2018 in UK, there was a survey conducted, and this revealed that typically amongst the people surveyed there, the youth of UK, they admitted to checking the smartphone once in 12 minutes. So I hope you will be merciful and keep your cell phone inside today during the talk. And 71% of them revealed that they never ever switched off the cell phone. It was on forever. Krishna in Gita says, satatam kirtayanto. That is translated nowadays as satatam online. There was a time when people, if they did not get food on time, they would get agitated. Now, even if they don't get food, it is all right, but the Wi-Fi must be on. And therefore, one statistics reveal that Americans collectively, they check, you know, their smartphones 8 billion times every day. And 89% of the people surveyed, they revealed that the first thing they do in the morning is check their phone. I'm not going to ask anybody here. As far as email is concerned, on an average, people have a tendency in one survey to check 36 times every year, and approximately 28% of the working time is spent on checking and responding to emails. And the interesting thing is, of all those emails, only 38% are actually useful mails. An average internet user spends, out of his lifespan of this age of Kali, whatever that may be, approximately 5 years and 4 months of his time online. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj has given a breakup of how the, you know, human life is distributed. In that statistics, this is not included. Out of which, YouTube takes the major chunk, 1 year and 10 months. Facebook, 1 year and 7 months. Twitter, 1 year, 2 months. Instagram, only 8 months. So far. And as per statistics, if one follows all the Facebook ads which one sees and decides to actually respond to each one of them, within an hour you will end up spending more than $1,000. That is the potential this has. And therefore, these repeated interruptions, they sap away our energy and also utilize glucose, and the energy which we can practically utilize in practical work is dovetailed somewhere else and overall affects the productivity. And so, as per statistics, it is revealed that today, a typical worker in office cannot focus continuously on one task for more than 11 minutes. And once you are distracted from a task, the brain needs at least 25 minutes to come back and focus on the task. And so, in year 2000, the human attention span was 12 seconds. In 2017, it has come down to 8 seconds. Amongst the various species, one of the most distracted is the fish, very chanchal. So, even goldfish has an attention span of 9 seconds. We have beaten goldfish also. Congratulations. So, there was a survey which was conducted, and in the age group of 18 to 24, youth were asked, if you are not doing anything in particular, what will be the first thing you will do? 77% of them responded, we will pick up our phone and check the phone. Those who were above 65, only 10% of them responded that they'll pick up the phone. So this is increasing in the younger generation. There is an institute called Statistics Brain Research Institute. So they came with this statistics that as of today, 25% of teens forget major details of their relatives and close family members because of this samadhi. And 7% of them forget their own birthday also. Self-realization. They go beyond the body. 17% of the page views last for less than 14 seconds, and only 4% of the page views while surfing online is more than 10 minutes. And therefore, only 28% of a typical web page of approximately 593 words are read through by people on an average. And so typically the Sunday edition of New York Times, if you get hold of it, the amount of information it contains, just that Sunday edition, it has more information than what a typical Frenchman in the 18th century would actually absorb in his whole lifetime. More information is there in one Sunday edition. In the Udemy 2018 Workplace Distraction Report, it is said that amongst the top distractions in office is chatting and talking amongst the co-workers, which is 80%. Changes in workplace or office noise is 70%, changes in workplace 61%, and smartphones comes at 69%. And 46% of workers in office reported these repeated distractions leave them demoralized. And 41% of them, they feel distracted and stressed out due to this repeated interruptions. And therefore, the prime time for distraction as per UC Irvine study was 46% of them revealed that the major distraction happens in the time period between 12 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon in the office time. And so, because of this, the overall effect is people feel they have not reached their potential, they feel they are losing something in life, and there is a deep lacunae in what they are actually experiencing in real life scenarios. So the whole purpose of sharing these statistics is to explain to all of you that the major impact which distraction is created in society, because human life is meant to actually accomplish complete harmony between the body, mind and the soul. And that is only possible when we are able to focus our attention and energy. And the time to begin this kind of a focus as described in Srimad Bhagavatam is Kaumaram Acharet Pragyo, at the age of 5. The more you delay, the more you will become overwhelmed by distracting tendencies, and the more difficult it will become to focus your attention and energy, because the mind will become used to the tendency of remaining in a state of perennial distraction. Many times people have this conception that spirituality must only be practiced when you are in old age. In 1994, as Satyanand Prabhu mentioned, we began the ISKCON youth services. And at that time, when we began the college preaching, we did not have the luxury of seeing so many youth. In practically most of the programs I would go, there were only 2 to 10 to 15 people around. If more than 15, 20 people came, that was considered a luxury. And that would typically happen if some student who was attending our program and the whole college thought he will never pass, he would pass. So from 40, 50 people would come, saying that this guy has passed means Krishna is there. Otherwise, One college program I remember, I went for 2 years continuously. Only 2 students would come. But they would come diligently. And I would tell them, if possible, invite your other friends also. They would say yes. They never said no. Because in India, we usually never say no. When does yes means no and when does no means yes? It confuses everybody. And then next week I would go and only the 2 of them would be there. And I said, anyone else coming? And they would say, let us see. And like that, I continued going every week for 2 years for those 2 great souls. And while doing kirtan, many times I would get confused who's leading and who's following. But still, I would come and discuss with Radhanath Maharaj that not too many people are coming, and he would say, you just go. Because our message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Bhagavad Gita has to be shared. Even if one person comes and hears, it is a great success. In your program, 2 people are coming. So I continued. But then I was very happy to note that later on, both of these devotees got initiated in ISKCON. One of them is leading one of the projects in North America, and the other one is started a whole ISKCON center in the country of Malawi, and he's like the temple president there. And then last year I was in Mauritius doing a BBT conference. And so this devotee was making a whole presentation on how he is strategizing distribution of books in the whole belt around Malawi and in so many African languages. And I was feeling very, delighted that even if one person comes, you cannot underestimate how that person is going to transform. And then when that person becomes transformed, how he is going to transform people in future. And it's a chain reaction. And therefore, the whole premise on which the ISKCON Youth Services was established was to inspire and ignite the imagination of the youth in Mumbai and other places across India to add a very critical dimension in their life. They get competence in their college and university. All the colleges and universities are geared up to add the competence dimension in their lives, career dimension in their life. Along with your competence and career, ISKCON is coming to your lives to add the character dimension. If you combine all the 3, the combination is unbeatable. And you become supremely successful. But many times people have various kinds of misconceptions about spirituality in youth. Like I was trying to give, prasadam to one youth and he was refusing. I said, what's your problem? People refuse Gita sometimes but never prasadam. And he said, no, I'm very afraid. I said, why? He said, I'm afraid if I eat this, my hairstyle will become like yours. And so, many times when people go to different temples, people have no objection. But when some young boy starts coming to ISKCON temple, then everybody gets bewildered. And many times even family becomes a little fearful and they start wondering, why is he going there? And he said, don't go there. Yad gatva na nivartante. You may not return back. But the whole purpose of our spiritual education is to transform the character in such a way that people's lives become sublime. Today in India, 371 youth commit suicide every single day. They feel dying is better than continuing to live. If all the institutions only teach people how to succeed, what will happen when people fail? And therefore, the message of the Bhagavad Gita and the message in the Association of Devotees which we are trying to share with the youth is not just how you can succeed, but how to cope with failure and continue trying in spite of failure, because success is the ability to go from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. That we are trying to teach. And so recently in the news, there are waves created about powerful businessmen committing suicide because of various situations. And this is not something new, and it has been going on for a long time. And therefore, when you go to a medical shop, they distribute you medicine. You go to a bookstore, they distribute you books. You go to a hotel, they distribute food. You go to a juice bar, they distribute you juice. When you come to a temple, we distribute you hope. And that is the hope which will keep you alive for your whole life. That's what we are here to teach. I was in a local train in Mumbai, and it was very, very crowded. Of course, today, two of the lines are not working only because of the rains. But the evening traffic time, we had entered. I was, you know, carrying a bunch of books in my shoulder. And when I entered there, it was so crowded, I got crushed between two people, one on the right side, one on the left side. And I was against the middle part, where there is this chamber and you're standing there. And right in front of me, someone came up and said, "Oh, you're from ISKCON?" I said, "Yes, who else has this style?" So he said, "Do you have Bhagavad Gita?" I said, "Yes, can you give me?" I said, "I can't move my hand. Put your hand inside the bag and take it." So he put his hand inside the book bag, took out Bhagavad Gita. He said, "How much?" I said, 70 rupees. He took out 100 rupee note. I said, "I can't move. Put the 100 rupee note in my pocket, take 30 rupees change." He put the 100 rupee note, took the 30 rupees change. Whole Gita transaction happened without me moving. I realized that day, I am not the doer. When someone wants this knowledge, they'll come searching for it. And therefore, we are here to provide that input for those who want transformation in their lives. And this transformation begins at the very beginning of your lives. The earlier, the better. And so, in the education system today, in India we have 27 crore students in the schools, more than 15 lakh schools which are catering to students in the age group of 1st standard to 12th standard. Around 3 crore are spread across more than 40,000 colleges and universities. So this is the total student population of India of around 30 crore. But you'll be shocked to know that 2,000 crore rupees of drugs are smuggled across the border into India and being consumed every single day. Every single day across the world, you have 18 billion cigarettes being smoked annually. 6.75 trillion cigarettes are smoked every year. Across the world, 1 billion people are experiencing difficulties due to smoking addictions. The question is, what are we doing about that? And so if someone gets connected to practicing spirituality, when he gets this spiritual education, effortlessly a person is able to give up all of these bad habits, including smoking, drinking, illicit sex, gambling, and these sinful tendencies. And therefore, the practice of spiritual life transforms a person's heart, takes him away from all these distractions, connects him on a life which is based on the tracks of ethics, morality and character, and improves the overall efficiency, ethics and productivity of this person's life. So therefore, if the world needs anything today, more than anything else, it is transformation and reformation of character. And that's what we are providing to all of you. And we are very happy to be celebrating the 25th year in the effort to transform the character of the youth in Mumbai, thanks to the support of all of you here. I was giving a lecture at MIT in Boston, and I was very excited because I'm from IIT, and I thought, you know, hamara bada bhai. And then when they were trying to set up the LCD projector, you know, there was some problem and it did not work. So there was a student who was organizing. He came up to me and whispered in my ear that, "Sir, LCD projector not working. You please depend on Krishna and give lecture." And I was thinking, "Mera hi philosophy mujhe suna raha hai." And I couldn't say anything much because the topic of my lecture was overcoming anger. And the first point I was going to make in that lecture was, you may have your plans, but things will not always work as per your plans. And therefore, this material world has been declared as Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam, a place of difficulty and misery. So there are schools, colleges and universities across the world which are training people how to achieve, how to achieve, how to achieve, how to accomplish, how to accomplish, how to accomplish. You also need schools and colleges and knowledge systems and associations which discuss what to do when you do not achieve. And how to understand that not achieving what you have in mind is a stepping stone for further achievement which you cannot see right now, but you must have the faith. And then have the kind of patience which can help transform your current so-called failure into a future outstanding success. And that's the paradigm we are here to teach all of you. I was on a journey to Belgium, and we were in a flight from Venice, and our flight got cancelled. We went to the airport, it got cancelled one night. Next day morning we went, we had checked in and we were at the boarding gate, and the last minute they said some weather problem, again cancelled. But they said, "You please go and collect your luggage, and then whoever goes and stands at the ticket counter, fresh tickets will be issued. The first so many people will get the tickets because we have limited seats." So I told my two other colleagues who were with me that you go and collect the baggage. Everybody will go to collect the baggage. But nobody will think that one member of the team or family can go and stand in a line. So you go and stand and get the luggage. I will go and stand in the ticket counter. That's a out-of-the-box idea, which is quite normal for us. Because one thing which we are experienced is finding the right line and standing in line. So I stood there in the queue. I was the first person, because practically everybody went together, got the luggage. Everybody came together. My two colleagues went and got the luggage. I was standing there and I was looking back as the line was growing behind. Again and again I was looking back and feeling very proud. Bechare, itna bhi nahi chamka unko. And I was feeling, kya idea lagaya. And then ticket was issued. We took the ticket. We were sitting there. Then they called for the boarding pass. I went to issue the boarding pass. When I showed the ticket, the lady there said, "Sir, sorry, this is tomorrow's ticket." I said, "No, no, I was the first in the line." She said, "You may be first in the line, but this is tomorrow's ticket." But the only thing which was in my mind is, I was first in the line. That means I must be successful in getting this, because I bet practically everybody else in this idea. I said, "Yes, that is all true, but this is tomorrow's ticket." So what should I do? I said, "You go and talk to the same counter again." So I was, you know, losing control. And I forgot about all the seminars I gave on overcoming anger. And I went there to the counter and showed the lady, "What did you do?" She said, "Oh, I had a night shift and I didn't sleep properly. By mistake, I issued tomorrow's ticket." I said, "Okay, fine, now give me today's ticket." "Sorry, all the tickets have been issued." I said, "But I was first in the line. And my two colleagues don't know what is going on. They are looking at me." Because they were saying, "Kuch hua kya?" I said, no, everything is okay. And I was just trying to manage it without them coming to know what's going on. And then, you know, this lady was replying like this. And, you know, I started raising my voice a little bit, becoming agitated. Said, "We have to go for this program this evening. We need to catch the flight." She said, "If three or four people, they cancel or don't show up at the last minute, you have a chance." I said, "You can't do this, you can't do this." And she looked at my bead bag hanging from my neck. She said, "Why don't you pray on your beads and maybe the Lord will help." And then, you know, that's what we did. And then finally, mercifully, four people, one family did not show up and we got a chance. But practically, our daily life is filled with situations where we are not in control. And therefore, what do you do when you are in situations which are beyond your control? Are you equipped to deal with that? And so, the difference between human beings and machines is, when you are dealing with machines, when you are dealing with gadgets, once you insert your password and you go online, the biggest illusion these machines create is they make you feel you are in control of the situation. And therefore, you start getting more and more subtly getting influenced by this concept, "I am in control." Because whichever direction I want to go and navigate, I am able to do that. But then the way we are able to go and surf online as per what we wish, we are unable to press the buttons of life in the same manner. And therefore, the apparent dichotomy between what we are doing most of the time and what reality throws up in front of us is so different that in due course of time we lose the ability to tolerate. And so impatience becomes the name of the game. Intolerance overwhelms us and ultimately leads to frustration and anger. And therefore, it has been demonstrated that in US, even amongst road accidents, we have at least 64% of accidents happening because of distractions caused due to the various kinds of activities, including looking at smartphone, manually reaching out to various gadgets while driving or talking or doing other things. So the overall tendency for distraction creates a lot of issues. Therefore, it is described here that not only does distraction creates these kind of effects, but the overall tendency for a person when he is dealing with these gadgets is to become quite obsessed with his own self. And a person becomes less empathetic towards others' needs. And this results in a decrease in EQ. And studies have revealed that 90% of top performers in the corporate world are those who have a very reasonable and high degree of EQ. And therefore, without even knowing, you are cultivating habits in your youth and your teen years which are going to be jeopardizing your future ability to focus, be empathetic, and in this way lead powerful teams in your corporate career. 45% of teenagers, they actually reveal that although we may be addicted to gadgets, we become annoyed when in a conversation others start fidgeting with gadgets. And 21% of them revealed that they would very much like their parents to be less absorbed in gadgets. And therefore, it's a pretty global phenomena, and we have to deal with this in a very powerful way. So distraction, it diverts the attention from your desired area of focus. It diminishes your ability to receive the information and data which you are wanting, and so the desired information does not get registered in your system. And this basically is the overall understanding of the concept of distraction. There are lots of modern theories and contemporary analysis done on distraction. Like, for example, the London Institute of Psychiatry in one report revealed that addiction or over-engagement with emails and phones leads to a 10-point decrease in the IQ. This kind of thing is only seen for those who are addicted to marijuana, which results in only 5-point decrease in the IQ. So this is worse than that. As far as sleep is concerned, 92% of the youth in Japan have sleep disorders, to the extent that there are some companies there in Japan which are offering extra bonus payment to workers who manage to sleep 6 hours every night, 5 days a week. They are giving them incentive. Raat ko so jao. If you sleep, we will give you money. Even then the people are saying, nahi, hum udaaseen hain. Hum nahi soenge. So this is a major issue which is affecting at all levels. Another very important effect of this distraction is its influence on happiness. As many of you know, that when we are in this state of constant alertness, then there are hormones like adrenaline and cortisol which are released. And then these hormones which are released suppress the other hormones which are responsible for happiness. And the four top amongst them are, first of all, dopamine, which is released when you feel a sense of completion. The second is endorphin, which is released when you are doing exercise to help you cope with the pain. The third is serotonin, which is released when you perform activities to add to a sense of contribution to others, when you do activities which are of selfless nature. And the fourth is oxytocin, which is released when there is a feeling of social connection with others. But when one is in a state of distraction, he loses the ability to complete any task. He loses his ability to engage and push himself physically. He loses the ability to be empathetic and help others and contribute to others' welfare. He loses the ability to connect with others socially. And therefore, this distraction ultimately puts a person in such a state that practically all of these four happiness hormones, which are most important, when these four chemicals are not released, it does not allow you to experience a state of happiness. So therefore, we see that this distraction is a major menace which is affecting us at all levels across all kinds of categories of society. because of the inability to focus our attention on something positive, the mind gets distracted to so many negativities. I was on a flight to London. I was chanting. There was this old lady sitting behind me. She came up to me and said, "Swamiji, dhire, jor se nahi." So I started chanting very, very mildly. At that point, they started distributing liquor in the flight. So one guy was taking an international flight for the first time. So when they brought the liquor to this guy, he asked, "Ye kitne ka hai?" So the attendant said, "Free." So when he heard "free," he didn't realize that money has been taken in the ticket itself. So he started drinking like anything. And in around 45 minutes, 1 hour time, he went berserk, started shouting and screaming and went out of control. And everybody in the flight was wondering, "What is this? Is this an international flight or an ST stand or something? What is going on?" And then, the most surprising is this lady was telling me to chant slowly. She came up to me and said, "Maharaj, can you control this guy with the power of your mantra?" So I said, "This mantra is for me to control myself." And that is the whole idea of meditation, that we try to control our own mind and senses. And therefore, Kali Yuga is a yuga where, because of these kind of distracting tendencies, people's ability to experience happiness has gone down tremendously. I was distributing books in the local train, showed the Gita to one gentleman. He looked at the Gita and said, "Father has purchased one, grandfather has purchased one more. We already have two Gitas." So I said, "Okay, take the temple card, take Mahaprasad." I gave him a nice smile and walked to the next bogey. This man kept chasing me. He came chasing behind me. He said, "Gita dijiye, give me a Gita." I said, "You already have two, no? One from your father, one from grandfather." He says, no, but I want one." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, last 6 months, my father has been chastising me, my wife has been chastising me, my boss has been angry with me. You are the first person in last 6 months who has smiled at me. I want Gita from you." So I said, I looked at him and said, "If I knew, I would have laughed and given whole Bhagavatam." And the fact is that this is an age where an experience of joy comes at a premium. And people were looking at it, looking for this, how to experience joy. One of my friends, very happy, personality. He would always be smiling, even in tense situation he would smile. So his boss called him one day and said, "You have any problem?" He said, "Why?" "Are, hamesha hasta hai tum. Hamesha khush dikhta hai. Kuch problem hai kya?" This has become Kali Yuga standard, that to be morose and depressed is normal. And if someone is seen happy, because he is in minority, the majority declares him pagal. So the situation is such that unless we realize that this distraction is affecting us, pervading our entire lives, affecting our productivity, our peace, our ability to maintain a sane character and lifestyle and habits, our sleep, our happiness, our relationships, the effects are lethal. And therefore, although in the modern contemporary researchers, many such effects have been demonstrated, we look at how things are happening from the perspective of the ancient Vedic wisdom, which is the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita explains very clearly what is the root cause of all of this distraction. The root cause is uncontrolled mind. And therefore Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, Jitātmana prashāntasya paramātmā samāhita śrītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tathā māna apamānayoho. Says, my dear Arjuna, for one who controls his mind, super soul is already attained. Bandhurātmātmanastasya yenātmaivātmanājita anātmanastu śatrutve vartetātmaiva śatravah. He says, for one who has controlled his mind, the mind is the best friend. And for one who has not controlled his mind, that same mind becomes his greatest enemy. And therefore, dear Arjuna, control your mind. And Arjuna is standing there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, looking at the entire army in front of him who were supposed to be his enemies. Arjuna was ready to fight. Arjuna took weapons in his hand, and then Krishna brought Arjuna's chariot in front of Bhishma and Drona. So what Krishna did was simply change circumstances a little bit. When the circumstances were adjusted to some extent, Arjuna saw, oh, here is my grandfather who must be loved. Here is my teacher Drona who must be respected. How can I kill my teacher and grandfather? Arjuna got confused. And therefore, confusion arises because of lack of understanding what really matters the most. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita is telling us, you begin life by defining what matters most to you. And the second principle which is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita is that the behavior which we perform is very much affected by the association we are in. And the circumstances many times affect and impact us. Yes, there are so many outside agencies which will distract us. Our gadgets, the internet, the social media, so many other instruments of the outside world may distract us. For Arjuna, his grandfather and his teacher were the causes of distraction from his duty. That's when the Gita was spoken. When Krishna saw that Arjuna, the great warrior, has become paralyzed in his ability to perform any activity because of his distraction from his duty. And the whole treatise of Bhagavad Gita is to help us cope with all kinds of external distractions by the means of internal absorption and control of the mind. And therefore, even Kurt Lewin in 1936, the famous social scientist, came up with the equation that behavior is a function of our personality in a certain environment. And therefore, we may have ability to transform our personality to some degree. But more than that, we have the ability to control our environment depending on how we set our priorities. And therefore, this is a very important principle that your coming here to the Association of Devotees is an effort to transform both your personality and your environment. Through that transformation, your life goes through a complete 180 degree transformation from the negative to the positive. And that's exactly what is called by social scientists as choice architecture. That you choose your environment, you choose your ambience in such a way that it becomes difficult to perform the bad habits and it becomes easier to perform the good habits. the way you create your environment and ambience. So naturally, if you are surrounded by various provocations for sense gratification, you take out your laptop and you are online and you are on your Facebook page and you take the mala in your hand, is that the positive ambience for you to chant? With left hand you are scrolling up and down, and with right hand, you know, so it's not very clear you are connecting to whom. So therefore, the environment and the ambience is very important. So the four-step formula which you must try to follow to transform your distraction into dedicated action and focus is, first, simplify by eliminating distractions in your environment. Second, create a system of short-term feedback so that you are surrounded by people who will keep giving you feedbacks on which way you are going. And therefore, there are some of you who are coming here for the first time, maybe some of you are new, but you have other friends who can help you in this journey with their feedbacks. Third, surround yourself with environment which facilitates and promises new behavior. So take the Gita with you, keep the books of spirituality, surround yourself with that, and dedicate specific time of the day where you will invest in those activities before beginning any other activity. And fourthly, most importantly, invest in your ability and skill set, because each one of you have a certain ability and skill set. Try to discover that, invest your time and energy in that, because if you are spending your time in a distracted manner, you never have the ability to figure out what am I good at and where should I invest my energy. It requires introspection, it requires some degree of serious attention, it requires an ability to step back from all kinds of constant attention disorders and pause so that you can actually see what you can do to transform yourself. And therefore, focusing on your strengths and investing in those strengths will completely transform you and make you highly productive, efficient, and give you the ability to remain satisfied in that particular ambience. I remember that many years ago, when I went for a program, and it was a program in Maharashtra, in one of the interior villages, and I was giving a talk. And so as I was giving a talk on Janmashtami, I thought that, okay, let me try to make some sounds of animals the way Radhanath Swami does in his lectures. People like it. So I thought I'll also imitate. You know, he makes sounds sometimes of monkey, sometimes of peacock and frog and like that. So I thought it's a Gocharan Leela Krishna taking the cows. So I imitated sound of cows. And I thought I did a good job with it. After the lecture, one person from the audience came to me and said, "Which animal was that?" And I felt very offended. I said, "Of course, it was Gocharan Leela, it was cows only." And he said, "It didn't sound like cows at all." I said, "It was Mumbai cows, you know." And I got the feedback. And I thought, okay, I should just do what I can possibly do and not try to imitate something else. So, sometimes we are confused. What should I do? What social media and all of this online connection has done is, rather than focusing on what you can do, you are constantly bombarded by what others are doing, and you are thinking, should I do this? And then next feed you see, oh, should I do this? Then you see someone else doing something very wonderful and you think, should I do this? It adds to your identity crisis. Somebody attended a speaker's training seminar, and the speaker, hello, don't keep quiet, The speaker who was making this presentation, he was sharing to all the audience who had come to learn public speaking. It was a seminar on public speaking. He said, if you want to create impact in your public speaking, the opening of the speech has to be phenomenal. It must be stunning. And you must shock the audience with something sensational. Like, you can say, the best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife. And everybody got bewildered. What is this? And then the trainer said, and that lady is my mother. Then he said, oh wow. It's not as scandalous as we thought. So there was a villager who attended that training seminar, went to his village, called the whole village and said, I have become public speaker. And then he stood there. When he saw the audience, he was nervous. And then he said, dear friends, I have a confession to make. The best years of my life were spent in the arms of a woman who was not my wife. And then he was so nervous that he couldn't remember the next line. And then, after a pause, he said, I can't remember who she was. So one of the greatest causes of anxiety for the youth is constant comparison. And when you're comparing that, oh, this person is doing this, this person is doing this, that person is doing this. They got a new phone. I didn't get a new phone. I have to get a new phone. And so, in this way, it is the selfie yuga. And people are taking selfies, posting this and sending WhatsApp messages and this and that. People are more enthusiastic about sharing message than reading them. So many people come and say, ki aapke videos hum share karte hain. Maine kaha, dekhte bhi ho kya? Bole, nahi, uska time nahi milta. So that has become the Kali Yuga definition of paropkar. Do good to others, keep sharing. So therefore, unless you step back and realize what can I potentially do, you will not be able to invest quality time, energy and attention on your skill sets and try to generate your potential to the maximum. And for that, you need time with yourself. You need time in solitude. You need time where you can connect with Krishna, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And therefore, this kind of a connection is very important. Even in the Mahabharata, Bhima, he saw that Arjuna is very popular. He knows how to sing also. He gets invited for all the nice events for singing. I am only called when somebody has to be thrashed. I will also learn singing. So Bhima employed and engaged one music teacher and told the music teacher, make me music expert. Order. A music teacher saw that, you know, the person doesn't have too much potential. But what can he say? It was Bhima. So it's a big risk telling him, sir, it's not possible for you. So Bhima started practicing right at the entrance of the Indraprastha kingdom. Right at there. And the whole town was seeing, sitting and he's shouting and screaming at the top of his lungs. Some people came and told Yudhishthir Maharaj that noise pollution has increased too much. Can you do something about it? Yudhishthir said, who will dare give him feedback? So then he consulted and told Draupadi, you are the only person who can give feedback and he will not react. So Draupadi went and told Bhima that music is a very, very esoteric art. It needs to be practiced in solitude, deep in the mountain, in the forest. So Bhima went deep in the forest, started practicing, shouting at the top of his lungs. And suddenly he found one day, one man in front of him. He looked at this man and said, "There is nobody in this forest. Who are you?" The man said, "Only if you promise you will not beat me, I will tell you." The man said, "Why should I beat you? Who are you?" He said, "I am a dhobi, washerman, and I lost my donkey nearby. I was searching for that donkey. I heard your sound. I thought it is my donkey only." That day Bhima retired. So Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhima, "Can you go and call Krishna from Dwarka before sunset? I want to meet him urgently." Bhima said, "Of course." Bhima went out. Then he saw there was prasadam. He thought, "Let me eat. Then I will go." He ate. He felt tired. He said, "Let me rest. Few minutes." He went for few minutes. Few minutes became 4 hours. Yudhishthira Maharaj knocked at his door. "Did you go and call Krishna? It is almost sunset." Bhima said, "I am sorry. I overslept." Yudhishthira Maharaj started chastising him. "You are always interested in eating and sleeping. That is all." And then he left. Bhima closed the door and started crying. "My dear Lord Krishna, just a few minutes are remaining before sunset. I have lost my, I have lost my face in front of my elder brother. If somehow or the other you could mystically appear, I would be so obliged." And Bhima started crying and crying and crying. He lost all hope. There was a knock on the door. He opened. Yudhishthira Maharaj was standing there. And Yudhishthira told Bhima, "You were lying to me. You didn't go to Dwarka. See, Krishna is here. So you have performed your activity. You have performed your duty. Why are you so humble?" So Bhima was totally bewildered. He said, "I didn't go. I only cried." And Krishna said, "Bhima, when you were trying to sing all kinds of various tunes under that music teacher, all of those various ragas did not attract me so much as today in a helpless state with total absorption you were calling out my name. I came from Dwarka swimming through the tears, the river of your tears." And therefore, the beautiful thing to realize is to be absorbed in our spiritual life and our material life, we do not have to try any very special gymnastics. Whatever talents you have, potential you have, try to utilize it in the Lord's service, knowing that the nature of the mind is such that simply having a certain event is not enough for the mind to experience satisfaction, because it is the event plus your expectation which ultimately creates the emotion and the experience. And therefore, you have to train your mind in dealing with your expectations. And when the actual reality does not happen as per your expectations, you should have the resilience to cope with that failure and go on to have fresh expectations. Because the nature of this triangle is such that you perform an action, that action creates an impression on the mind. Because of that impression, the mind continues to offer fresh proposition. And that proposition depends on the impression which has been created. That impression depends on the action you have performed, and this loop continues of action, impression and proposition. And in this way, you have to break this cycle by transforming the negative action with positive action, which will create positive impressions so that positive propositions are made. And so here, practically all of you sitting here had every excuse today not to come for this event, because it was raining heavily, so many uncertainties were there, western line was, still on, but you never knew at 8:30 the western line could have closed down. But still, all of you were sincere enough to understand that, yes, I want to come here because I want to transform my actions and impressions and propositions, because of which you were determined to come here, because you were determined to change yourself for the better. Congratulations to all of you. And therefore, the whole idea of overcoming distraction is to go from the level of situation which are beyond our control. Beyond situation is the level of emotion, just like water is rising today in Mumbai, in various places. So if you are at low-lying area, when the water rises, you go to the next level. When the water rises till there, you go to the next level. Similarly, situation is the lowest level. Beyond situation is the level of emotions. But beyond the level of emotions is the level of devotion. And when you are situated at the platform of devotion, then practically whatever happens in your life, you see that as an orchestration of the divine will, and you are able to deal with it appropriately. Madhuklivam cha madhvike krite karma shubha shubhe bhaktanam karmanam chaiva sudanam madhusudana mahavipattav samsare yah smaret madhusudana vipattav tasya sampatti bhavet ityah shankara. When you are going through mahavipatti, calamity, in that state of calamity, when you are able to connect your mind to the divine will, when you are able to see that the ultimate purpose and goal of my life is not to gather the rewards of prosperity or the punishments of adversity, when I agree that in spite of my prosperity and adversity and others' prosperity and adversity, I will not allow my mind and consciousness to be diverted by any of these four possibilities, then we move in the direction of complete focus. Because what diverts us? My success. I feel, oh, I am so great. My failure. I feel, oh, I am so useless. Others' success, which may ignite some envy. Others' failure, which may ignite criticism or contempt. So if you make these four different quadrants, and in spite of all of these four, you realize life is beyond success and failure of mine and others, the ultimate success as per Bhagavad Gita is, in spite of all of this, if you are able to focus our attention on Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. That the success in life is to be absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord. And therefore, this ultimately brings us to a stage beyond distraction. And then we are able to experience the ultimate attraction towards Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So life determines the problem, the mind determines the magnitude of the problem. And so the process of mantra meditation, or any kind of meditation for that matter, is to help you take the journey of your life from the level of situation to the level of emotion to the level of devotion. And once you are situated at that level, you realize that circumstances are beyond my control, consciousness is within my control. And therefore, no matter how the external circumstances change, you do not change, because you realize that, yes, all of this is simply a test for me to be able to withstand the final test at the time of death, where the pain is equivalent to that of the biting of 40,000 scorpions. And the last moment of my life at the time of death is not going to be a luxurious party. It is going to be filled with pain. And every event in my life is simply an opportunity to practice. If I am able to remember Krishna in the midst of this pain or not. And therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Tomara sevaya dukkha hoye yata, seito parama sukha, सेवा सुख दुख परम संपद नाशये अविद्या दुख. माय डियर लॉर्ड, व्हाट एवर सर्विस वी आर डूइंग इन योर लोटस फीट, एट योर लोटस फीट, दिस सेवा इज द मोस्ट अवेटेड रिवॉर्ड वी कैन गेट. एंड एनी दुख वी एक्सपीरियंस इन दिस प्रोसेस इज सिंपली अ ग्रेट रिवॉर्ड फॉर अस. तोमार सेवाय दुख हो यत सेतो परम सुख. इट इज एन अपॉर्चुनिटी फॉर ग्रेट ब्लिस एंड जॉय. वाई? Because ultimately sukha and dukkha will come. But the ultimate purpose of business is to attain profit. And the ultimate purpose of life is to attain complete fixed meditation in the thoughts of the Lord in the midst of all kinds of positive and negative situations. And so if you are able to do that, that is the ultimate success. And therefore, when you go through difficulty in life and you try to tolerate it, life smiles at you. When you feel happy in life, life laughs at you. But when you try to make others' life blissful, life salutes you. And that's the whole idea of what Krishna Consciousness Association is. It is trying to help you transform all of your attendant distractions to help you attain a state where, whether it is lust, anger, envy, greed, from within and all the external sources of distraction, they no longer distract you, but you are in an association which helps you facilitate all of these in a way by which you can remain completely absorbed in Krishna. On the 25th year of the anniversary of the ISKCON Youth Services, we are very happy to invite and welcome all of you to participate with all of us in this journey of absorption in life and attain to the highest stage of devotion by overcoming all kinds of distractions from within and without in the luxurious association of like-minded youth. I thank the IYS and all of you very much for coming this evening. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Let us not be distracted from the announcement.
Thank you, Gaurang Prabhu, for telling us that the root cause of distraction is mind and taking us to the different levels and the highest stage of devotion. So, thank you, Gaurang Prabhu, for this wonderful class. Let us express our gratitude to him by loudly chanting.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
So today, we have a esteemed guest arrived today, so we'd like to welcome them. We have with us Justice Madan B. Gosavi Ji, who is serving judicial services for 26 years in Indian government. He is ex-CBI special judge and now he is justice for West Bengal, Odisha, Jharkhand and Bihar province. We also have with us Manoj Rai, who is a director of Indian Foreign Service officer. We also have with us Kushal Rawal, who is a deputy general manager of marketing and sales at Cope Data India. We also have Mrs. Smita Bangarian family, ex-manager National Textile Corporation. We have Mr. Sanjeev Shete, He is Executive Director of Technology in JP Morgan. We also have Ms. Priyanka Khatri, AVP of Technology in JP Morgan Chase. Akshay Sonone, Professor in VGTI. And Chandrasekhar, owner of Chandrasekhar Tutorials. So let us welcome this guest in our traditional way by loudly chanting. We also like to welcome the newcomers who have made it today to come here and spend their evenings. So I request those who have come here for very first time, kindly stand up at your places so that we can properly welcome you. Kindly feel free. So thank you all very much. As Prabhuji was telling that you have really overcome the distraction and disturbance appear. So we like to welcome, and we have many, many things for you. After this class, after the kirtan, you can go downstairs and you can show your coupon and take prasadam in Bhaktivedanta Hall. So let us welcome these devotees in our traditional way by loudly chanting. Thank you, kindly sit down. So next prerna, which is going to happen in September, it will be conducted on 21st of September, and the speaker would be His Grace Radhesham Prabhu. Another foundational pillar of our ISKCON Youth Services, he will be delivering the talk next month. This is another interesting announcement. Govardhan Eco Village is organizing a festival called Bharat Incredible India, a festival of wisdom, culture and inspiration for the youth on the occasion of India's Independence Day. So dates are for this festival is 17th and 18th August, Saturday and Sunday. For more details about this festival, Bharat, the Incredible India, kindly contact a desk downstairs which has been set up for all of you. You can have your queries, or if you want to register for this, you can kindly register over there. So I will roll down if anyone has any question. So kindly raise your hand, mic will come to you, and after that we'll have a kirtan after question answer session. So there is the hand, so please.
Yeah, question answers.
Hello. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. As you said in the starting that people suicide because of failures and depression. But in recent cases we can see that people also suicide because of harassment, bullying. So what can they do?
Right. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmana kamam krodham tatha lobham tasmat etatrayam tyajet. So Krishna says that the three powerful enemies within are kamam, which is lust, krodham, which is anger, and lobham, which is greed. So, of course, there is a whole system of administration of society, of the country, which the responsibility of which is taken by the governments, the various law-making bodies, the law-enforcing bodies, those bodies which take care when there are deviations from the law. So they're all designed to deal with that. When we come in this kind of a setting, we are more focused on what we should be doing to cope with these kinds of situations internally. Okay? So in the World War history, in 1939, on November of 30th, Russian troops attacked Finland. And they had more than 9 lakh soldiers, 6,000 airplanes and 4,000-5,000 tanks. And Finland had hardly 2 lakh soldiers and a few hundred planes and a few less than 100 tanks. Everyone thought the whole war will be over in 1 week. But the Finnish culture has one interesting word, which is called shishu. Shishu basically refers to the ability to be resilient in all circumstances and not accept defeat internally, even though all the forces externally may be designed to defeat you. And therefore, they realized that the writing is on the wall, but we can at least put our full effort to fight. And they fought with so much of vigor and bravery that in March of 1940, there was a winter peace treaty signed. And by that time, the Russian troops lost more than 500,000 soldiers. And the Finnish did not lose more than 70 to 80,000 soldiers. And ultimately, they proved that in certain situations, your mental toughness and strength and your unwillingness to accept defeat in any circumstances can also be very, very powerful. And therefore, when we come here in this kind of a setting, that's what we are trying to share, that how can we overcome the tendency to feel I cannot do it and the situation is too much and give up. So therefore Vasudev is described as Tatascha Shauri Bhagavat Prachodita Sutam Samadaya Cha Sutika Grihat. So in the outside world, success may be defined as attaining a certain position, attaining property, attaining assets, attaining fame, attaining whatever. But from the paradigm of Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, success is defined as a person may lose kingdom, he may lose property, he may lose assets, he may lose money, he may lose reputation, he may lose popularity, he may lose influence, but in spite of all these losses, he refuses to lose hope, he is successful. And that's what we are trying to share. In the Ramayana, the monkey soldiers saw Lord Ram and Lakshman doing Ekadashi and fasting. So they said, we will also do. And the monkeys are not designed for, you know, this kind of fasting and everything. So an Ekadashi in those days meant no water also. So the monkeys, you know, they were sitting under a tree looking at each other that tomorrow is Ekadashi, someone announced. So they were looking at each other wondering who is the one who gave the idea. And then one of the monkeys, he said, tomorrow is Ekadashi, day after is Dwadashi. I heard that when you fast whole day on Ekadashi, the body becomes so weak that you cannot climb the tree also. And if we cannot climb the tree, we cannot pluck the fruit on Dwadashi day. How will we break the fast? Because monkeys have to do the work themselves. They don't have gardeners who pluck the fruit for them. So the monkey said, oh, that means let us climb on the tree now itself. And we will do Ekadashi embracing the tree on the branch. So they all jumped on the tree. Another monkey said, I have heard reports of the kind of weakness which sets in on Dwadashi such that the hand doesn't have strength to pluck the fruit. Because you need strength to pluck the fruit. So let us pluck the fruit and keep in the hand. So Dwadashi day, we can easily break the fast. So it is a day before Ekadashi, they are already thinking of day after, that is Dwadashi. So they all plucked the fruit and kept it. Another said, I have heard that because of lack of water and food on Ekadashi day, the bones and the joints become jammed and the hand cannot bend itself to reach till the mouth. And if our hand gets stuck like this, how will we eat? So better, let us keep the fruit at the corner of the mouth. It will be useful on Dwadashi day. So they held it in the corner of their mouth. Another said, I have heard that the fasting locks the jaw and the teeth doesn't move. So better we chew the fruit and keep it in the corner of the mouth. It will be useful for Dwadashi. When they did that, someone said, you have done all this, eat the fruit itself. So therefore they say, worry is like a rocking chair. It doesn't take you anywhere. It just keeps moving you here and there. So therefore, if you are simply meditating on what cannot possibly happen, then you will be filled with negative emotions. So therefore, you have to have the positivity of Vasudev, who went through death of 6 sons. He was positive. He was brave. He was willing to go through the pain to perform the duty of serving Krishna. And then ultimately, Krishna appeared for a few moments before going and giving pleasure to Nanda Maharaj for the next 11 years. So therefore the whole idea is, you have to learn to live life not for pleasure, but for the right purpose. And that's why you are here in this festival. Any other question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for the class. Prabhuji, how to avoid the relapse of bad habits, Prabhuji? When we hear such discourses on Bhagavad Gita, on we may chanting also. So to some extent, some period of time, we are in that, our consciousness is at good level, but some bad habits, Prabhuji, they relapse after certain intervals of time. So how to deal especially with them when you are not in the association of devotees, when you are staying somewhere else for job or somewhere else. So how to deal with them? I am facing currently such things. So can you suggest some things?
Keep in touch with devotees through WhatsApp. So you tell your devotees to give you a WhatsApp call at 4:30 a.m. video call, and you do Mangal Aarti, let them also do Mangal Aarti. Use technology, not at 12 at night, but at 4 in the morning, after sleeping at night. So, it is possible for you to remain connected if you know that yes, there are others who are overseeing this situation. So when you feel that you are answerable to someone and you have a close connection, then that connection will give you the strength. There was one, I was just sharing in the Bhagavatam class last time. There was someone on a cruise ship, and the cruise ship docked at Mumbai. And this sailor came out and was wanting to purchase one, you know, plant to keep in his particular cabin. So he purchased a plant, but the person who sold it sold him a tulsi plant. And the sailor kept this in his cabin and was watering it every day and getting the pious credits of serving tulsi. And the effect was, in 1 month, this sailor felt like giving up liquor, meat eating, everything. He gave it up. And he didn't know what's going on. He didn't know the vibrations were coming from the plant. And then he went out one day in another, you know, locality where the ship had docked. And as he was roaming in that town, the port, he met a book distributor who gave him Bhagavad Gita. He took the Gita, brought it back to his place, kept it. Next day he went again to the city. The same book distributor met him there. And he said, "Did you start reading that book?" And the sailor thought, "Oh my God, just purchasing the book is not enough. This guy is following and chasing me up for reading also." So he said, "No, not yet. Maybe I'll start very soon." Third day again he went to another part of town. Again that book distributor was there only. He said, "Oh, you are again here. Did you read the book?" He said, "Yeah, I read it." He had not read it. He said, "Arey, peecha chhodao iska." "Yeah, yeah, I read it." "So how did you find it?" the devotee asked. He said, "Well, it was okay. Some parts are all right, other parts not so okay, but overall okay, okay." The devotee said, "See, whoever reads this Bhagavad Gita either falls in love with it, agrees with everything, and there is another category, they cannot agree with anything and become totally opposed to it. Nobody ever becomes lukewarm like you. This means you have not read this Gita." So he said, "Oh my God, this guy has mystic power." So he went back and started reading. And when he started reading the Gita, he got transformed. And now he is one of the head pujaris of the ISKCON temples in Europe. So if roaming around in a cruise ship, if someone can get connected and get transformed, so the association of devotees is considered to be like wind. So wind lifts a speck of dust. If a speck of dust comes in contact with water, it becomes mud to be stepped upon. When the speck of dust comes in contact with the wind lifts up that speck of dust, and that speck of dust can reach the turban of Gopinathji. That speck of dust is powerless, but the wind is powerful. Like that, an insect is powerless. What are the chances that a small insect can come in contact with the chest of Gopinathji? But with that insect takes the shelter of a flower, that flower is plucked by a gardener and then made into a garland by devotees. When that garland is offered to Gopinath, then from inside that flower, that insect may come and touch the Lord's chest. And therefore we are like insignificant insects. We need to take shelter of flower-like devotees and we become eligible to be offered to the Lord. Any other question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask that how to control our mind. You said that when we make our mind our best friend, then we are free of distractions. But if I try to think that next 5 minutes I won't think of a monkey, the only thing that keeps in my mind is monkey. So how can I control my mind and make him my friend? That's what I wanted to ask.
You chant the Maha Mantra, that is the key to the man. Man ki ki. Man ki chabi is Maha Mantra. So anarthon ke monkey ko yaha rakho aur mantra ke man ki chabi ko leke jao.
Thank you.
Any other question? Haan sir.
Nowadays, the topic is going about Chandrayaan and rocket launching, everything. And Prabhupada has mentioned that this cross body cannot go to Moon and Mars and anything. So can you elaborate, please? Because our government is wasting crores of rupees.
Well, at this stage, I think your biggest anxiety is you are able to launch yourself from Chowpatty and reach home in this weather today.
But Prabhupada said that it is not possible. So what do you think about that?
Well, the whole context has to be understood. Right now, we are focused on how we can transform society through launching a transformation for their mind within. So, Srila Prabhupada has given all the details in his purports in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So, in that fifth canto, all the details of the various aspects of the universe has been described in great detail. And when somebody said, Srila Prabhupada, they are going to the moon, this was in the 60s, Prabhupada said, well, we get an opportunity, we'll go there and distribute books because that's our main business. So therefore, you know, the most important principle is that the way terminologies are used and the context are defined has to be properly understood and discussed. So therefore, the approach which all of us are taking as far as this particular assembly is concerned is we are more concerned with all the ominous negative planets roaming within our mind, within the core of our heart. Right? The kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mother, matsar. And we are here to launch the missile of the Mahamantra to destroy these, and that itself takes a long time to happen, and sometimes whole life you are launching and nothing happens. So therefore, we are concerned right now with this transformation. And if we are able to deal with this, that will be the greatest success of our life. And as far as, you know, your question is concerned, it's a vast topic of discussion and it is beyond the scope of, you know, one youth festival, because I'll have to launch here another devotee, Pavaneshwar Das. So when we launch him, then maybe today you can find him, you know, somewhere down preaching to the youth, then you will be able to deal with this. But what Srila Prabhupada said when he went to the West is, in India, the whole culture is very much favorable to Krishna consciousness. And so we have been born in this culture, we have everything available to simply connect with Krishna. And therefore the favorable environment is there. And as far as we are concerned, one of the distractions is to be concerned too much about what others are doing and what other people are doing, and to be concerned with that beyond one's capacity. So first of all, fix your area of influence. And then once you are able to do things significantly in your area of influence, then you can think about area of concern. And one thing the social media and the media in general does is it starts distracting everybody to forget their area of influence and only start wondering and meditating and discussing about area of concern. And so practically everybody is concerned about things which are beyond their area of influence and forget to absorb and be attentive to be able to make the difference they can in areas within their area of influence. So first is, launch yourself to be able to significantly impact your area of influence. That is the first point which I would like to share. Second, when Prabhupada was setting up this Cross Maidan festival, Shyam Sundar Prabhu was here. So Prabhupada just had a few Western youth to help him. So he could have thought, huge country of India, what these 4, 5, 10 Western American youth will do here. No. He was concerned more with what I can do within this capacity. So Prabhupada brought Shyam Sundar Prabhu and he was driving here through Kalba Devi in a car, and his car hit somebody accidentally. The guy fell on the ground in front. A crowd surrounded that car. When the crowd surrounded the car, Shyam Sundar Prabhu realized, they are going to beat me up because I hit somebody and he fell on the ground. But surprisingly, the crowd jumped on that man who fell in front, started beating him. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu got even more bewildered. I made the mistake. He fell down. Public is beating him. Then he thought, maybe in India, they begin from there. Then they'll come to me. And then they beat him up and they moved on the side and told him, you go ahead. And he said, "Arey, but I made the mistake. Why did you beat him up, poor guy?" They said, "Arey, you are a devotee of Krishna. You're dressed like a devotee. How dare it disturb you?" So he realized the culture here is so elevated. Even if someone is dressed as a devotee, even for the slightest glimpse of spirituality, this land of Bharat affords the highest respect for such personalities. So therefore, every country has its USP. Some country is famous for exporting, you know, technology. Some country for exporting irrigation equipment, for, you know, some kind of machinery, cars. But India has always been famous and will always in future remain famous for practicing and exporting spirituality. There are 2 million temples in India. The world population is 7.6 billion, 31% of the population is Christian, 23% is Muslim, 16% is atheist, agnostics, non-believers, 15% is Hindu, 8% is Buddhist. Now we should be more concerned that in a country which is so filled with spirituality, people's names are also many times some connected to some spiritual names. Right? Some spiritual name comes, you know, amongst people's names also. Ramakrishna, Lakshmi Narayan, this, that. So many names are there. You go through directory list, you'll be chanting holy names. Right? Just nearby, there is one hotel, Sudama Palace Beer Bar. You go to smoke a bidi, you'll get Ganesh bidi. So this is a land where even if you try your level best, you cannot forget Krishna. Spirituality is embedded. India is a land where within any 2 hours, 100 to 200 kilometers of any town or city, you will find a holy place where Krishna or his avatars or some great saintly personalities have performed some pastimes. This is the place on the whole planet which has millions of holy places where you cannot find any other country in the world having this kind of privilege and facility. So therefore, when Prabhupada went to London, he was asked, "Why have you come to London?" And Prabhupada said, "Well, British took away so many things from India, they forgot to steal the most important jewel, the Bhagavad Gita. I have come to give it here." So Prabhupada gave the Bhagavad Gita. And so you'll be happy to know that since last 50 years, ISKCON has distributed more than 50 crore or 500 million Bhagavad Gitas all over the world. So we have concerned ourselves with what we can launch. We cannot launch any satellites. We cannot launch any other missiles to hit any other missiles. But we have decided, okay, let us launch a campaign against bad habits. So let us avoid the white small missile, the cigarette. Let us avoid the other bigger missile, Kamba. let us launch a missile against hookah, bidi, charas, ganja, tambaku, pan masala, supari, gutka. And we didn't stop at that. Chai, coffee also. And kanda and lasun, bombs also. So that is the level of our, you know, interplanetary exploration. तो हम लोगों का जो गया है भाजी मार्केट तक गया है बट द मोस्ट डिफिकल्ट वॉर टू विन इज द वॉर अगेंस्ट मटीरियल डिजायर्स इन द माइंड एंड वी आर वेरी मच फोकस्ड इन दैट सो व्हेन यू टेक सीरियस रेस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी यू विल रियलाइज टू टेक अप सीरियस रेस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी एंड अकम्प्लिश एनीथिंग इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट To sit on the side and make comments and click photo and send is very easy. So whoever is doing whatever, I don't know all the details, but to run a small institution is difficult. What to speak of running a whole country? So when you try to run a whole country, you'll realize it is so difficult to manage to do it. Then you will develop some appreciation and sympathy when you start doing it at a small level. So therefore, what the world needs today in India is not more commentators, we need more players. Because sitting in front of the television, it is very easy to comment. Are kya yaar, mara nahi. Ye to chakka marta tha main. But when you actually come, just by seeing the baller running, you leave the bat and go away. So therefore, the biggest problem again with social media and all of this new circulation is everybody feels entitled to make comments and give commentary and give purports on anybody. Not knowing the difficulty involved in doing even one task properly. So therefore, it is very important for us to realize that let us try to focus on what we can do within the area of our influence and allow people whose responsibility is to deal with certain things to actually do the needful in that regard. And as responsible, aware citizens, if you feel concerned about it, then raise the concerns in the right forum. And then allow those concerns to be addressed by the right people. And with that kind of responsible, digital and national citizenship, we'll be able to transform the society and again realize Mera Bharat Mahan. Thank you very much. So now, let us have our kirtan. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Rama.